Savitri, Book 1, The Book of Beginnings, Canto 5, The Yoga of the King, The Yoga of the Spirit's Freedom and Greatness. This is part 2. It goes from pages 80 to 87. Last week, Sri Aurobindo spoke of how the king frees himself from mind and matter and dares to live where breath and thought are still. The powers of the spirit were no longer bound by the body. He was able to learn the truth, and then his immense aspiration led him to his great, great spiritual fate. In describing the king's yoga in Canto 3, Sri Aurobindo spoke a lot about how he was changed, and he told about many great powers that changed him in different ways. Now this great king, this great yogi, who no longer has his cover of humanity, can directly receive the divine descent. And there is a strong descent of a great power that comes down into him. He is so strong that his nature is torn out of his mortality and changed completely. Now all that represses our fallen consciousness was taken away from him, like a forgotten load. And then comes one wonderful line from Savitri, "There was no death-hunted creature more." Now the king is going to see secret nature stripped of her defense. And in this part, Sri Aurobindo again describes for us different aspects of the creation, different things that are going on in different ways. And again, they are aspects of the creation and the creator, the two who are one, and their manifestation here. And finally, we learn that secret nature is forced to yield and surrender all her force to the service of the soul. So we start part 2 of Canto 5. In a divine retreat from mortal thought, in a prodigious gesture of soul sight, his being towered into pathless heights, naked of its vesture of humanity. As thus it rose, to meet him bare and pure, a strong descent leaped down. A might, a flame, a beauty half visible with deathless eyes, a violent ecstasy, a sweetness dire enveloped him with its stupendous limbs and penetrated nerve and heart and brain that thrilled and fainted with the epiphany. His nature shuddered in the unknown's grasp. In a moment shorter than death, longer than time, by a power more ruthless than love, happier than heaven, taken sovereignly into eternal arms, hailed and coerced by a stark absolute bliss, in a whirlwind circuit of delight and force, hurried into unimaginable depths, upborne into immeasurable heights, it was torn out from its mortality and underwent a new and bornless change. An omniscient knowing, without sight or thought, an indecipherable omnipotence, a mystic form that could contain the worlds, yet make one human breast its passionate shrine, drew him out of his seeking loneliness into the magnitude of God's embrace. As when a timeless eye annuls the hours, abolishing the agent and the act, so now his spirit shone out, wide, blank, pure. His wakened mind became an empty slate on which the universal and soul could write. All that represses our fallen consciousness was taken from him like a forgotten load. A fire that seemed the body of a god consumed the limiting figures of the past and made large room for a new self to live. Eternity's contact broke the molds of sense. A greater force than the earthly held his limbs. Huge workings bared his undiscovered sheaths. Strange energies wrought and screened tremendous hands unwound the triple cord of mind and freed the heavenly wideness of a godhead's gaze. As through a dress the wearer's shape is seen, there reached through forms to the hidden absolute a cosmic feeling and transcendent sight. Increased and heightened were the instruments. Illusion lost her aggrandizing lens. As from her failing hand the measures fell, atomic looked the things that loomed so large. The little ego's ring could join no more. In the enormous spaces of the self, the body now seemed only a wandering shell. His mind, the many-frescoed outer court of an imperishable inhabitant. His spirit breathed a superhuman air. The imprisoned deity rent its magic fence. As with a sound of thunder and of seas, vast barriers crashed around the huge escape. Immutably coeval with the world, circle and end of every hope and toil, inexorably drawn round thought and act, the fixed immovable peripheries effaced themselves beneath the incarnate's tread. The dire velamen and the bottomless crypt between which life and thought forever move, forbidden still to cross the dim dread bounds. The dire velamen and the bottomless crypt between which life and thought forever move, forbidden still to cross the dim dread bounds. The guardian darknesses, mute and formidable, empowered to circumscribe the wingless spirit in the boundaries of mind and ignorance, protecting no more a dual eternity, vanished, rescinding their enormous role. Once figure of creation's vain ellipse, the expanding zero lost its giant curve. The old adamantine vetoes stood no more. Overpowered were earth and nature's obsolete rule. The python coils of the restricting law could not restrain the swift arisen god. Abolished were the scripts of destiny. There was no small death-hunted creature more. No fragile form of being to preserve from an all-swallowing immensity. The great hammer beats of a pent-up world heart burst open the narrow dams that keep us safe against the forces of the universe. The soul and cosmos faced as equal powers. A boundless being in a measureless time invaded nature with the infinite. He saw unpathed, unwalled, his titan scope. All was uncovered to his sealless eye. A secret nature, stripped of her defense, once in a dreadful half-light formidable, overtaken in her mighty privacy, lay bare to the burning splendor of his will. In shadowy chambers lit by a strange sun, and opening hardly to hid mystic keys, her perilous arcanes and hooded powers confessed the advent of a mastering mind and bore the compulsion of a time-born gaze. Incalculable in their wizard modes, immediate and invincible in the act, her secret strengths, native to greater worlds, lifted above our needy limited scope, the occult privilege of demigods, and the sure power pattern of her cryptic signs, her diagrams of geometric force, her potencies of marvel-fraught design, courted employment by an earth-nursed might. A conscious nature's quick machinery, armed with a latent splendor of miracle, the prophet passion of a seeing mind, and the lightning bareness of a free soul force. All, once impossible deemed, could now become a natural limb of possibility, a new domain of normalcy supreme. An almighty occultist erects in space this seeming outward world which tricks the sense. He weaves his hidden threads of consciousness. He builds bodies for his shapeless energy. Out of the unformed and vacant vast, he has made his sorcery of solid images, his magic of formative number and design, the fixed irrational links none can annul, this crisscross tangle of invisible laws, his infallible rules, his uncovered processes achieve unerringly an inexplicable creation where our error carves dead frames of knowledge for a living ignorance. In her mystery's moods, divorced from the Maker's laws, she too, as sovereignly, creates her field, her will shaping the undetermined vasts, making a finite of infinity. She too can make an order of her caprice, as if her rash superb wagered to outvie the veiled creator's cosmic secrecies. The rapid footsteps of her fantasy, amid whose falls wonders like flowers rise, are surer than reason, defter than device, and swifter than imagination's wings. All she new fashions by the thought and word, compels all substance by her wand of mind. Mind is a mediator divinity. Its powers can undo all nature's work. Mind can suspend or change earth's concrete law. Affranchised from earth habit's drowsy seal, the leaden grip of matter it can break. Indifferent to the angry stare of death, it can immortalize a moment's work, a simple fiat of its thinking force, the casual pressure of its slight ascent, can liberate the energy dumb and pent within its chambers of mysterious trance. It makes the body sleep a puissant arm, holds still the breath, the beatings of the heart, while the unseen is found, the impossible done. Communicates without means the unspoken thought. It moves events by its bare silent will, acts at a distance without hands or feet. This giant ignorance, this dwarfish life, it can illumine with the prophet's sight, invoke the Bacchic rapture, the fury's goad. In our body, arouse the demon or the god, call in the omniscient and omnipotent, awake a forgotten almightiness within. In its own plane, a shining emperor, even in this rigid realm, mind can be king. The logic of its demigod idea, in the leap of a transitional moment, brings surprises of creation never achieved even by matter's strange unconscious skill. All's miracle here, and can by miracle change. This is that secret nature's edge of might. On the margin of great immaterial planes, in kingdoms of an untrammeled glory of force, where mind is master of the life and form, and soul fulfills its thoughts by its own power. She meditates upon mighty words, and looks on the unseen links that join the parted spheres. Thence, to the initiate who observes her laws, she brings the light of her mysterious realms. Here, where he stands, his feet on a prostrate world, his mind no more cast into matter's mold, over their bounds, in spurts of splendid strength, she carries their magician processes and the formulas of their stupendous speech, till heaven and hell become purveyors to earth, and the universe the slave of mortal will. A mediatrix with veiled and nameless gods, whose alien will touches our human life, imitating the world magician's ways, she invents for her self-bound free will its grooves, and feigns, for magic's freaks, a binding cause. All worlds she makes partners of her deeds, accomplices of her mighty violence, her daring leaps into the impossible. From every source she has taken her cunning means. She draws from the free love marriage of the plains elements for her creation's tour de force, a wonder weft of knowledge incalculable, a compendium of divine invention's feats she has combined to make the unreal true or liberate suppressed reality. In her unhedged Circean wonderland, pell-mell she shepherds her occult mightinesses. Her mnemonics of the craft of the infinite, jets of the screened subliminal's caprice, tags of the grammarii of inconscience, freedom of a sovereign truth without a law, thoughts that were born in the immortal's world, oracles that break out from behind the shrine, warnings from the demonic inner voice, and peeps and lightning leaps of prophecy, and intimations to the inner ear, abrupt interventions, stark and absolute, and the superconscious unaccountable acts, have woven her balanced web of miracles and the weird technique of her tremendous art. This bizarre kingdom passed into his charge. As one resisting more, the more she loves, her great possessions and her power and lore she gave, compelled, with a reluctant joy. Herself she gave for rapture and for use, absolved from aberrations in deep ways, the ends she recovered for which she was made. She turned against the evil she had helped, her engined wrath, her invisible means to slay, her dangerous moods and arbitrary force she surrendered to the service of the soul and the control of a spiritual will. A greater despot tamed her despotism. Assailed, surprised in the fortress of herself, conquered by her own unexpected king, fulfilled and ransomed by her servitude, she yielded in a vanquished ecstasy. Her sealed hermetic wisdom forced from her fragments of the mystery of omnipotence.